The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's talk about last night's Monday night game. You referenced that it was fun. It was another example of how good this quarterbacking class has been. These rookie QBs drafted this past spring. Jaden Daniels, the headliner, is currently the front runner everywhere to win Rookie of the Year. Bo Nix, who was taken 12th overall out of Oregon by way of Auburn, has had a strong enough season with the Denver Broncos, who are also 8-5, that he's nipping at the heels of Jaden Daniels now. Drake May didn't start early enough to be in the conversation, but he is really impressed and looked very good on a terrible New England team. And I would throw in the other two quarterbacks as well, which is a J.J. McCarthy strong preseason before he got hurt, and Michael Penix, who may or may not play at some point down the stretch here, depending on what happens in Atlanta, who's been sitting behind Kirk Cousins. Of course, 1-1 Caleb Williams has looked a lot better since they fired Shane Waldron and now fired Matt Eberflus, so there's a new OC, a new head coach, but he's been playing some of his best football. I don't know where you're at on this rookie class, but at this moment, if you have to divide everybody into like a binary, is that the answer for that team, yes or no? Of the guys that have played, Williams, you would say yes.
Yep.
Daniels, you would say yes.
Emphatically so, yeah.
Nix, you would say yes.
Mm-hmm.
I think May, you would say yes.
For May, yeah, I would.
I think the other two we haven't seen enough of, but the Vikings have to be giddy about the way McCarthy played in the preseason. And it seems like the Falcons are very, very happy with Michael Penix. We're not going to go 6-for-6 probably because that doesn't happen, but there isn't a single one of those six guys so far that a team would hit a button and say, I wish I didn't make that pick. And by now, into the season every year, there's normally a couple guys like that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, last year at this point, Bryce Young is, you know, falling all over himself.
And benched, yeah.
Benched pretty much. C.J. Stroud has hit the ground running, and he's incredible, and there's been some regression this year as Houston has kind of been okay. But it's premature, what I'm about to say. But there are it's shades of 1983, right? Where this doesn't happen, to your point. We talked about this leading up to the draft, where you go, remember, half these guys are going to be busts. That's just stats. That's not an individual fault. That's not because J.J. McCarthy can't play or because you know, Drake May doesn't know what he's doing or you know Daniels is this, that, and the other thing. There's still so much football to be played. Nobody's getting fitted for a gold jacket this week. But to have this many guys be this competent this early, I'm not talking about great. Competent is really unusual. Because you know what you don't ever quite count on is you were dominant at the previous level. How many guys that put up unbelievable numbers or couldn't be stopped at the college level just sort of floundered as pros? You could think of 1,000 examples off the top of your head right now driving around. The fact that these guys have shown they belong, let alone performed well, is remarkable to that level. I mean, and maybe now the new paradigm is, and Drake May is kind of breaking this, so bear with me. Maybe the new paradigm is, you know what, we actually want a guy that's played 50 college games.
Yeah.
Let's do that. Let's do this sixth-year senior thing. We can't do it every time because we won't always have COVID in the rearview mirror. But let's get as much experience as we can so these guys can maybe hit the ground sprinting. Something to think about.
It certainly is, and that certainly benefited Daniels and Nix. But to your point, May is the opposite of that.
Yep.
And is the youngest starting quarterback in the league and looks like the real deal. Maybe the class was just really, really good.
Turns out it could just be that, yeah.
And also, to your point, like, we don't know what we think we know yet either. I mean, these things are going to change, and it's not linear. And a year from now, we could feel differently about some of these guys. And heck, we're saying that two of them are going to be really good, and they haven't really played at all. In the case of McCarthy in Minnesota and Penix in Atlanta. But the possibility of 6-for-6 in a first round where six QBs went in the top 12 picks is pretty astounding. Watching Knicks last night, I think that was probably the most a lot of people in town have seen of him. Unless you have Sunday ticket, you know, you're just watching highlights and touchdowns and turnovers basically on Red Zone. I thought he was way better than his stat line. He finished 18 of 35. It was reminiscent
to me. It
felt
better than that.
Of like Jaden Daniels against Pittsburgh,
mm-hmm.
where there were statistically four drops and another two balls that could have been caught or whatever. At the point that he had thrown 10 passes last night, there were three perfectly thrown balls that hit guys in the hands that were dropped. They had a couple of more as the game went on that could have been caught. But that could have been, you know, a 23 of 35 for close to 350 yards for him last night with a couple of touchdowns. Instead, he settled for the one touchdown on what was a dime.
What a throw that was.
I mean, that play down the field that he made was incredible.
Justin Herbert style on that throw. You know what I mean? Just it's a window that everyone else would go, nah.
Straight
like,
drop back.
He's like, watch this.
Three steps, plant, 93-yard touchdown, middle of the field, beat basically two deep safeties, one coming over, dropped it in the bucket. Just a gorgeous ball. But I thought he was really impressive. And I'm sure having the primetime spotlight benefited in some way in terms of the Rookie of the Year conversation. But after what Daniels did this week, mm-hmm. I think it stands to reason that with four games for Washington to go and five weekends of football to go in the league, Daniels is the favorite to win the Rookie of the Year award.
So there's also a phenomenon here that happens. Daniels got there first. So the first guy to land on Plymouth Rock that played great in front of everybody is still that in their minds. Does that make sense? Like, every voter's not watching every single play, or everybody that has a influence in the sphere. And because Daniels was rip-roaring a success early on, he had the lead, and it would take something catastrophic for him to maybe relinquish that. And he had his dip already. I mean, he's a rookie. That happens. And he played great in this previous week, so he kind of maintained his lead, solidified it. But, you know, if you look at overall blind taste test, Knicks has a great case. And honestly, he's so much better than I thought he would be. I mean, to me, I thought, okay, I see this with Sean Payton. They like him, good fit. He's going to be a poor man's Drew Brees. Throw it to their version of Alvin Kamara behind the line of scrimmage. Trot him off for their version of Taysom Hill. Nothing but checkdowns, short stuff, run game, etc.
Well, that's kind of the narrative. Like, we had Chris Trapasso on last week from CBS Sports.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually said that he thinks Daniels is way more valuable to Washington than Knicks is to Denver. And the argument he made is basically that while the scheme buoys Jaden Daniels from time to time here, basically the scheme is doing the Lord's work buoying and lifting up Bo Nix in Denver. I didn't see that last night constantly. I mean, there was some of that for sure, but like, there were a couple of plays, even the drop by Cortland Sutton on the deep cross early in the game, where like, he constantly was rolling. He's never really in the pocket. They bootleg him more than probably any quarterback I've seen since early career Russell Wilson. And he's making these throws on the run, and he's launching down the field. I didn't view that, unless you're saying he's not doing it from the pocket. They've got to bootleg him and move him off of his spot, basically. That's the scheme. But I thought he was just making big-time throws. Like, I was, like you, I was really impressed last
night. Yeah, I mean, so this is it comes back to this argument we have, not you and I, but people in football have all the time, where they go, it's scheme. And they'll go, no, it's the player. You need a player to fit the scheme. In other words, when Brock Purdy doesn't play, San Francisco's offense ain't the same. Last year, the Denver offense didn't look like that with Russell Wilson. Same coach, same scheme. You find somebody that can fit it and they can run it the way that you want it run. It takes a skill set to do that, and it's a good marriage and match. So to me, it doesn't diminish somebody's ability and aptitude simply because they're, quote unquote, in a good scheme. See Daniels here with Kingsbury over the course of the season. So the thing that I didn't realize that Knicks had was that level of athleticism. And I'm not talking about sprint speed or making guys miss in the hole or scrambling, although he's been pretty good at that. It's that shake free, make that off angle throw. I thought, to me, this was a line up in the shotgun every time, catch, turn, throw. Catch, turn, throw. And it's nothing complex, nothing but screens. And we'll do that fine. We'll matriculate down the field here and there. he's got more ability than I ever thought possible. So it looks like they really found something.
So you tell me if you disagree with this take. I think where we are now in this rookie of the year chase is that Daniels is the favorite.
Yep.
And I wouldn't say decidedly ahead of him, but comfortably for the moment.
Mm-hmm.
But Nix has closed the gap enough that Jaden has to finish strong if Nix finishes strong.
Yeah, the odds say that. I agree with that.
He can absolutely be caught if he doesn't play well down the stretch, and I'm anticipating that he's going to, and he'll win the Rookie of the Year award. But whereas at one point in time, about a month ago, certainly 6 weeks ago, you might as well have taken the Offensive Rookie of the Year odds off the board in some places because it was just a foregone conclusion that Jaden Daniels was going to win the award. It's not anymore, but he has been better in my opinion. You know, whether you look at, and some of this is scheme stuff, right? But like, he completes close to 70% of his passes. Nix is at 63%. Nix does have 17 passing touchdowns. Daniels closed that gap this week with 3 tutties. He's got 15, but he's turned the ball over less. 6 interceptions versus 8 from Bo Nix. When you look at the rushing and you take that into account, Nix has actually run the ball a lot more, to your point, than maybe people expected. 300 mm-hmm. yards, 4 touchdowns. Jaden Daniels, as a runner, not surprisingly, the only quarterback in the league leading his team in rushing, has 590 yards and 6 touchdowns. So that's where some of that added value for him comes in. And I think he is the guy at this moment in the driver's seat and should be, even if Nix keeps playing well, as long as Daniels does as well. But if he falters like he did for those few weeks, Nix could catch him. That's kind of where I'm at.
Yeah, I would echo those sentiments. Because, I mean, Nix deserves all the credit here. Remember, he got off to a really sluggish, anemic, slow start. I can't remember which week it was, but there was like one air yard total in a game or like a half or something like that,
that
early on.
That was the monsoon game against the Jets.
Oh, was that? So, never mind.
It was week 4. It was a rain game.
Excuse built in there, so never mind. But I remember early season, it was just, there's nothing dynamic here. This is a fight just to earn a foot. You know, and they were really struggling while Daniels was running all over the place, highlight reel stuff. When he was hitting Terry McLaurin in Cincinnati, Bo Nix was checking it down to somebody else. And they've built, and this offense has really come on. They are impressive to me at this point, night and day from what we saw in September.
But, man, it just I think it's fun for the league, you know, because we got to a point over the last couple of years where we've talked about some of the graduations, and by that I mean retirement, like the guys leaving the league.
Mm-hmm.
That whether it's Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers will be 41 years old, I think just had a birthday. Does not look like he's got a whole lot of game left. Phillip Rivers gone. And you think about that era that just came and went of quarterback play and how great it was, right? How do you start replacing some of these guys? And the discussion we were having last year is that quarterback play is down around the NFL. Well, you know what would be a really big boon to the league? And what would be critical to elevating QB play? If in one offseason, 6 guys join the league who are franchise quarterbacks, who are top 15 to 18 in the NFL for the next several years. That would be a pretty easy way to start improving the product. It would be massive for the game.
Totally right. I passing the proverbial torch. I mean, there was a period, I can't remember exactly the years, they all kind of blend together, but when it's, there are a bunch of guys in their upper 30s, early 40s. See, as you pointed out, Rodgers, who was still winning MVPs at that point, Brees, Brady, you know, no more Peyton Manning, Phil Rivers is still kicking. There's a bunch of guys that are sort of the senior citizens, still doing it at a high level, and then no one was like at 30. There was a few guys in their 20s, so you have Mahomes and Allen and a couple others. Lamar Jackson already won a couple an MVP maybe at that point. But you're going, where's that? You know, that next tier. Now you've got a couple different generations of guys in their prime, guys approaching their prime, a bunch of young passers. Like everybody, there's more teams that to me are quote unquote set at quarterback than maybe I can remember in recent memory. That's anecdotal, but it still feels that way.